Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when the most skeptical person in the family is the one who sees her? When the person you trust to debunk it all can't explain what was standing in the dining room.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to the program. We'd love to hear your ghost stories. Please do write them in, call them in. It's Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. It's always fascinating to me when you have a case or an experience with someone that you know just completely is like, ghosts don't exist. Just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're not down with the concept, period. But they have something that they can't explain happen to them, and they still try to explain it. Like, it's fascinating to watch the mental gymnastics that go on.
I hear that all the time, especially when people find out what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you well know, Tony, because you did only paranormal podcasting for a very long time. So when people are like, what do you do? I'm like, podcast. What kind of podcast? Paranormal. Oh, like, I don't believe in that. But God.
So are you a Satanist?
Yeah. Obviously.
You
know, yeah. I am. Everybody knows that.
Goes hand in hand. Yeah.
But it's just so funny because I'm like, okay, so you just told me one of the creepiest stories I've ever heard. Explain that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes no sense. How do you square that up?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, but they don't want to either, because if they actually do the process of talking about it and thinking about it and doing maybe a little research on it, they might find out that their belief system of there being nothing is wrong, and then they're mm-hmm. wrong. And that's not allowed anymore in these days. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
I posted something on Facebook recently, and I realized you cannot have an opinion.
No.
If you post something with an opinion, everybody gangs up on you. And this one woman decided that I was wrong. And I only really post pet pictures, as you both
know. Yeah.
But I had an opinion about something, strong opinion. And she just couldn't quit. And she kept commenting on other people's comments.
Yeah.
And defending herself. So I like commented on one of her random comments to somebody else. I'm like, you've made your point. Everybody understands you don't agree. Just stop. Mm-hmm. She still couldn't stop. Like,
because they must destroy. They must get their point across. They must. I don't know what the hell that is. Usually it's like some sort of fucked up religious fervor that they seem to have, that it's like, oh, I was programmed this way. This is how I do this, you know, and like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then they just fucking, you know.
Oh. I was like, I guess I'll just go back to posting pet pictures again.
Yeah.
Maybe when I go on vacation, people will get something a little bit more exciting. But that's why I only do that, because it's those people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who knows me knows that I have a very strong opinion about late night talk shows and mm-hmm. also game shows, period. I mean, if you had to list two things that Todd is going to have thoughts on, it's those two things.
And I love that so much.
I posted a picture a while back. Somebody had done a montage of all the hosts and former hosts of The Tonight Show. And it mm-hmm. started all the way back with Steve Allen and Jack Parr and Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, and Jimmy Fallon. And I took that. It was a great picture. And I took it and I posted it, except I put a big red X over Jay Leno. Okay. Because I'm not a Leno fan when it comes to The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And it was just no big deal. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Somebody attacked me on it, saying that I was part of cancel culture. And I said, well, if I'm part of cancel culture, I canceled this guy in 1993. That's how long ago I canceled him, when he got The Tonight Show over David Letterman. And it's like, I'm not part of this new cancel culture of today. I didn't like him back then. It's not really this big of a deal, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't like him.
And I don't like how that turned out. And it doesn't matter. It's just TV.
Well, if you dislike something that other people like, you're trying to cancel. It's like everything goes to the extreme. You can't just like be like, oh, it's not your flavor. Oh, okay, cool. You know,
I literally made the picture on my phone with the little draw over feature where you can like, you know, circle things. That's how I made the photo. And so the guy kind of like would never talk to me again for a while. And then literally like several weeks ago, he reached out and something else I posted, which to me was much more controversial.
Yeah.
And he was on my side. I was like, get the heck out of here. You know, beat it.
People like to be offended. I think that's at the end of the day, it's become a sport.
I agree. I think it's a sport. And I'm like, if I have an opinion, I don't care what your two sentence post and comment back to me is. It's not going to change my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if anything, we should sit down at that. And that was my point. You should sit down and have a conversation to see somebody else's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just kept going. I'm like, shut up.
Like, yum.
So I'm like, so people can't have opinions anymore because her opinion is going to override my opinion, I guess, in my own brain.
They go into the mode of who can be louder and more annoying. And that's who wins in their mind. You know, if you can terrorize people the most, you're the like, that's great. That works out well in the end, doesn't it? You know, and then they're like, I wonder why nobody likes me. Like, I wonder. I wonder.
It's like whether or not you like Plinko on The Price is Right. You
know? Exactly. Like,
personally, I don't think it's a pricing game, so it's not that great. But if you know,
you have a Plinko opinion.
I have a Plinko opinion.
Having an opinion on it.
I know that it's one of the most popular games on. Yeah. Price is Right, and it's fine with me. But you know,
it's not. It's truly not a pricing game.
It's not.
Well, actually, it is because you have to earn your tokens.
That is true. You do get a free token to start with, but you're right. But you do have to earn the rest of the chips, the Plinko chips. Correct.
And then the rest is pretty much chance. And a lot of the other games are pretty much chance. Like you could say the golf game's not a pricing game either.
It really isn't.
You got to earn. Really isn't. But it's there's a quality. If they just gave you chips and said, here, dump them, not a pricing game. But they do find a way to kind of make it a pricing game.
So let me ask you this. Is the three strikes game a pricing game? I really don't think so. That's all luck.
That's luck, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to figure out. Well, I guess it kind of would be because you have to be able to put the numbers in order. So it would be somewhat of a pricing game.
There is a strategy involved.
We're going to bust off a whole new line of whether or not the pricing game podcast.
Match game 76 or 77?
76.
There you go. All right. Let's go to our first ghost story today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi. My name is Jackie. I just started listening to your podcast. And I have a story that happened to my younger brother when he was 16. And at the time, he did not believe in anything paranormal. He was very skeptical and even lasted off. You know, he's a big macho guy at 16. He played football, you know. We were at my lake house, and my grandparents have a house next to us, and their house is about 150 years old. And they bought it from their parents, who had bought it from a previous owner who actually passed away, so it had been sold by the bank. He was staying at my grandparents' house alone because my mother was cleaning our house, which was next door, because we had renters coming in and she had made him stay in my grandparents' house because she had already cleaned his room. And this house that he was staying in is two stories. It's about seven bedrooms. It's a pretty large white house on the water. And it's old, old, old. Everything in it is basically furniture we've had from my great-grandparents. And my younger brother was staying in a room upstairs in the middle of the house, which is near a staircase. And he had locked all the doors before he went to bed. And he wasn't scared at all. I mean, I would have never stayed there because we had heard of guests coming to visit us and seeing things. But my grandparents were very strict about letting us talk about it, talk about what was going on in the house. They did not want us to be afraid of it. They never, ever wanted us to talk about what other people had seen, even though it was very interesting. to all of us kids, of course. There are 10 grandchildren. So my younger brother's staying there and goes to bed and nothing out of the ordinary happens, you know. And then he remembers waking up, I'd say around 12 o'clock, so midnight, and he's hearing something in the closet in the room that he's staying. And he's like, oh, it's nothing. It's an old house. Something's creaking, of course. You know, what's the logical explanation? And he turns on the light. He's like, all right, so this is, I'm just going to wait until the noise goes away. You know, I don't need to go look to see what it is because that's not going to help anything. So he waits and it keeps happening. And finally, he decides, okay, this is not normal. And he starts to get up and then he feels the noise. He hears the noise stop and he feels something is in the room with him now. And he's like, okay, all right, something is really wrong. Not okay. And he goes back into his bed and he pulls the covers over his head because he just doesn't want to see whatever it is that he's feeling is in the room with him. And we had in the room one of those old luggage racks that's like a little X shape with a fabric on the top to put your luggage on. And it was very, very old, like 100 years old. And he remembers hearing something moving in the room. And later on, he found out by going back into the room and checking, the luggage rack had moved about 2 feet from the wall that it had been up against. And that was what he was hearing scraping on the floor. And he, at the time, it was like, oh, you know, it's still creaking, but this is a little creepy. You know, I don't really like this. And he was like, I'm just going to wait under my covers until it goes away, and then I'll go back to sleep. But the noises around the room were getting louder and louder. And finally, he was like, okay, that's it. I'm leaving. I have to go back to my house next door because this is ridiculous. So he jumps out of bed and runs for the door and flings open the door, you know, runs down the hallway. And he said, when he was telling me about it, he said he felt someone was following him. As he was running downstairs, he could feel someone behind him, but he did not want to look behind him. And when he got downstairs, gets into the dining room and looks across the table, there's a big glass window and he sees something glint in the window and he's like, I don't want to look at that. So he goes and he tries to open the door that he had locked and he unlocks it, but the door won't open regardless of how hard he's pulling. So he's figuring something's wrong. Maybe I'm unlocking it wrong. You know, the keys are really old keys. It's an old house. And the doorknob's really old and rusty. So maybe he's just not doing it right. He's like, all right, I'll try the other door. So he turns back around, standing across the dining room table from him, is the figure, top half, top torso of a woman. And she's standing there. And he describes her dress so perfect to me. And he does not know anything about fashion. And he's describing the folds in her dress like an Empire waist-style dress, which a 16-year-old boy would know nothing about because that was only ever popular, you know, in the early 1900s. And he's talking about this dress in such perfect detail. He said it was blue and she was standing there. And then she starts walking towards the kitchen, which was on the other side of the dining room table, which was where he needed to go because the door he was trying wasn't working. So he decides he's got no other option. He's got to run, make a run for it. And he just runs as fast as possible past her figure and out the door, and he runs back home to my house, just like a 2-minute run. And he gets in and he goes to my mother, who's asleep, and he's crying. And my mother hadn't seen him cry in years. And he's crying and crying and begging her to call the police and someone's in the house. And it was so crazy to hear this because we had all heard these stories, and for him to have actually seen someone. You know, when we knew an older woman had died there and she had 2 young children when she died at my grandparents' house. And we supposedly, my mother growing up, had heard high heels on the floor, but we never really believed it. And if you ask my brother about it to this day, he's skeptical to even believe what he saw. Because once he talked to my grandparents about it, they were like, oh, you just saw something in the window. It was the shadow of something or a reflection. Don't be ridiculous. It was your imagination. You know, of course they don't want their younger grandchildren finding out about it and getting scared. But I believe what he saw was the woman who passed away in that house. And when I asked him, you know, were you afraid for your safety? He said, no, I don't think that whatever it was meant any harm. It just seemed to want me to know that I'm here and I'm watching you sleep and I'm going to follow you downstairs and out the door. And he said he will never sleep there alone again. And I will never sleep there alone again either. But I thought it might be interesting for you guys to hear. Okay, thanks so much. Bye.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
I don't think I would.
Yeah, me either. No. Yeah.
Okay, next story. I just think that's so creepy. And for it to happen to the kid who doesn't believe in any of it, yeah, and to have an experience like that, like, how do you explain that? And I also see why the grandparents are like, that didn't happen, because they don't want to acknowledge it, number one. But yeah, they don't want to scare the kids. They want everybody to come to their house.
And they want them to be calm and go to bed and be good, behave, and all this, you know, it, you know, impedes that goal of the peace. But at the end of the day, it's like, what's better? I guess maybe it depends on the mindset of the kids. You know, telling them, if the kids are gullible enough to believe, it's nothing, it's good, you're fine. And if the kids go away, okay, maybe that is better. But if you're like addressing, you're like, oh yeah, it's haunted as shit, you know, like that, is that going to make it a better situation for the kids at the end?
I don't know if it makes it better for the kids, but I do think that's a lot of the reason why kids in general, like, if they always say kids have some abilities, mm-hmm, just because they're kids. I think that's why a lot of the abilities that humans are given in this life kind of go away, because we're told it's nothing, because we're told yeah, it can't be anything. So yeah, mm-hmm, you know, it'd be nice if we could figure out a way to have that conversation without scaring the hell out of them.
But yes,
oh, right, I agree. Right.
I don't obviously know, Tony, you've possible had those conversations with Harper, since she's herself has become a little monster.
Well, I just traumatized the shit out of her when, yeah, I did the stories. You know, you just, you know, here's the horrible things that these ghosts do, and they, you know, they rip people apart and they feast on their organs, and it's okay, honey. It's not a big deal, you know.
And she seems perfectly fine.
It's great. It always,
yeah.
No, but I don't know. But with her, I mean, honestly, you know, I was into ghost stuff, and I was never like exposed to like super gory, scary, dark shit. I just kind of naturally went there because my curiosity took me there. And she's really the same way too. I mean, it was very much, you know, like, here's ghost story. And you know, we kind of watched the ones that we would, you know, air with her when she was younger. But it's, you know, she just kind of had curiosity for it. And so she kind of just took her where it did. And I don't know. She's not like super scared of them or anything. She has a very healthy, I think, relationship like with the idea of it, because it was just so kind of openly talked about. And I don't know. I mean, it's more of a curiosity, I think, than a fear. And I think that's good because we're able to communicate about it back
right
and forth.
Yeah.
And I think it's also with her, you know, whatever your dad's into, like, yeah, my dad liked to fish, so I want to go fish with my dad.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And like in our case, baseball. My dad loved baseball. I love baseball. Yeah. So you wanted that connection. You're, yeah, not a baseball fan, so you like ghosts. So
she's, yeah, for Harper, it's like, my dad has heard more ghost stories than anyone alive.
Pretty much.
Like, oh.
It's kind my of a dad weird loved, little thing. My dad loved beer. Look at me now. I mean, it's the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Although my dad loved Bush Light, and I can't say I've ever had a Bush in my life.
Yeah, you gotta upgrade that stuff.
Yeah, I never. I don't know what he gives. He drinks now. Oh, he drinks Ultra is what he drinks now. So, but if I have to, I'll have. I don't know. I'm not a big beer. I like an IPA or something every now and then, but I don't know. I tend to, it's cocktail hour on Wednesdays here on the show, so. This is just a gin and tonic right here.
Well,
I don't drink very much anymore, but I do allow myself to have a couple drinks on ghost story day because I just think it's fun. So,
I love that.
Yeah. I actually, I kind of stole it because another show I love, Bill Maher and his Club Random. He doesn't drink much either anymore, but he does. He actually records on Wednesdays as well. And he's like, this is the time of the week where you know, it's kind of like hanging out, enjoying it. And so I kind of like that.
Okay. I'm trying to lose weight. Otherwise I'd have some beers.
Yeah. That hinders that a lot.
Yeah.
I'll work on that for next week.
All right. Yeah.
Let's do beers next week.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever. And we'll each have one. Okay.
Yeah. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another ghost story caller and hear a story. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren from Ohio. I have always been able to see and hear paranormal activity. Every house I've lived in since I was young has involved paranormal. Sometimes I wonder if it's just following me or if it's really the houses. I have gone from seeing things in my closet when I was young to seeing my grandparents, to my deceased grandparents, to living in a house where a man murdered his family and hung himself in the house, to currently I am renting a house in Akron, Ohio. It was built in 1923, and my backyard is a cemetery. So needless to say, I have some pretty awesome stories from that house, the one I want to share with you today. And I am driving home, so if you hear anything, that's all it is. I was on my way home from work on the phone with my mother one day, and I got home, and I'm still on the phone with my mom, and I'm changing, and we had just got a new thermostat in our new house, so I set it to our temperature we wanted it to be for the day, and it had kicked up on its own to 72 when I got home, and I checked it, and I took the dog out, and I'm on the phone, and I hear I have a Cleveland Browns tin, like, can that sits on my end table. It falls off, and it's across the room, and my dog jumps up, and he is going crazy, growling, and won't go near it. So I walk over, and I pick it up, and as soon as I turn, I see a full apparition of a man standing in the archway of my kitchen, which is right next to the thermostat. And he was wearing like a flannel shirt, an older hat, jeans. I mean, I saw him clear as day. I thought there was an intruder. My first thought, I guess, with my history, should have been ghost, but it wasn't. And I actually raced out of the house, still on the phone with my mother, screaming. And I decided that once I gathered myself and realized it wasn't an intruder, I checked the thermostat, and the thermostat said it was now at 62 degrees, which means where his apparition was seen right in front of the thermostat, it dropped. So a little bit of proof to my belief that it wasn't an intruder. We have a very small house. He couldn't have gotten far. I always see things walking around my house, and I think they are my boyfriend, and they're not, because he'll still be in bed, or he will have already left and whatnot. And I would love to tell you more about my stories if you wanted to know anything about the other haunted houses I've lived in when I was young. I have some awesome stories to my sister and I having the same dream at the same time, waking up to an apparition of a man looming over us. I have stories of my little sister as an infant being lifted out of her crib and found in the middle of the floor. Anything you would like to know. And you guys are great. You get me through an 8-hour day at work. And I can't wait to listen to new episodes every day and every weekend. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for sharing that with us. The ghost that changes the thermostat. And
did it change the setting on the thermostat, or did it change the reading?
Yeah, I thought it changed the reading.
Like, yeah, because that would make sense.
So it's like you're saying it's saying it's like 66 and it's like 80 something, just for example. Yeah,
like it said it's 62. Yeah, okay. The temperature in that room was whatever.
Like in a spot it is. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Right near it, you know, because your thermostat picks up whatever the temperature is right there.
Yeah.
Do you think it was kind of tempting fate by moving into a new house, new old house, where the backyard is a cemetery?
Wow.
She kind of tempted fate, right?
I think when you know you're getting a cemetery in your backyard,
there's a good chance.
Anything's possible, I think, at that point.
Well, and then I couldn't hear what it was. It was a Cleveland Browns tin or something like that fell off. And I'm like, well, because maybe somebody in your backyard cemetery was not a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah.
And they're all pissed off. They go in your house and knock it off.
You know, it's really fun to do. If you,
I have no idea what this is going to be.
This could go anywhere at this point.
When you move out of a house, if you have like a Nest or a digital thermostat that's connected to like your Wi-Fi and you can control it.
Yeah.
It's fun to control it when you sell the house.
Have you done that, Tony?
He's like not answering.
I don't anymore, but after I moved out of a house, I was curious one day. It was on accident because I actually was trying to adjust my own. I'm like, oh shit, I'm logged into the old house. And I'm like, well, fuck, I can like crank their heat up or turn it to air. And like, I didn't. Cause I'm not a monster. wink, wink. I did think of it. I mean, I'm like, that'd be kind of funny. I just kind of assumed I wasn't going to have access because I assume, okay, you know, they hooked it up to Wi-Fi, but I guess I still was logged into the system itself. It was a couple of years ago, but it did run through my mind. I'm like, this would be really, you know, I could totally fuck with people right here. You know, crank it up super high. Eventually they start tearing the house apart. Then they find the skeleton that I put into like the wall or the fake fireplace that we built, you know, the messages that I wrote in paint in reverse.
Jesus.
It's going to be fun for somebody if they haven't already discovered these things.
It's like, well, I was listening to that show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR. And they were talking about this guy who, for some reason, I don't think it was a Roomba, but it was a robot vacuum cleaner, and he reprogrammed it for some reason and didn't realize that he was now in control of over 7,000.
Oh my God.
He like changed everybody.
Oh God.
All these people got these rogue Roombas or robotic vacuums. I don't know the brand, but they got these vacuums that are doing whatever they want. So they have no control over them. I'm like, how did you figure it out? Like, how that had to have taken a while, but that had to have felt very paranormal for the people who's.
Yeah. Well, that, like, what's going on? Why is this doing this?
Right.
Yeah.
And then the guy thinks he's just at home. He just,
I don't know how many, and it wasn't Roomba specifically, but I don't know how many of those damn robot vacuums I've bought in my life that. It's like they work good for a little bit. And then it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, it goes rogue.
Because some guy reprograms it. And next thing
maybe that's the answer.
The people of the house that you used to live in that you were messing around with there, they tapped in.
Here's a fun story. preface these is very here's a fun story, kids. So I have Roombas, or not, it's not Roomba, I think it's the Shark brand that I have, and I have one for the basement down here, I have one for the upstairs, the main floor, and then there's a floor above that where like the bedrooms are, and I have one for each level. Here's the problem. I got a puppy about a year ago, and the puppy, she's doing pretty good on her potty training. She's not perfect. You know, every once in a while, if, you know, she needs to poop, she'll poop somewhere that, you know, like you don't normally traffic. She'll kind of go sneaky poop.
Let's be honest. We've all done one of those.
Well, exactly. Right? I mean,
we've all done a sneaky poop.
There's a place in the unused bedroom if you go behind the armoire, you're going to find a pile of my shit, typically after Taco Bell nights.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I didn't know they had gorditas. Since when did Taco Bell offer corn as a topping? Limited time. That's how anthropologists can name when they did these things. It's like, oh well, that was the spring promotion of 2022,
right?
When they were doing like, oh, this has been here a while.
The person who found this was surprised by the corn.
No more than me though. I was surprised by the corn because I'm like, when did Taco Bell have corn? I'm like, when the hell was I'm like, oh. Oh, that was after COVID during a promotion.
This is so ironic. Because I'm, you know, watching my weight and stuff, I had some black bean burgers the last couple of days, right?
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
I think there must be corn in them that I didn't recognize because later on it showed up.
Like where is this mystery corn coming from?
Yes. Yes. And that just happened to me today.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? I didn't have corn.
Of course.
And I would immediately go to, I'm dying.
Oh, if you drink like I did that. I Whole Foods has sometimes I'll buy they have fresh juice blends, and one like has beets that are pretty heavy in it.
Yeah.
So it's very red. And if your body's not used to consuming beets, you may think you're dying because it does come out the other side looking rather red, and you're thinking, oh my God. And you're like, oh wait, I went to Whole Foods. It's okay.
Yep.
And then the Roomba drives by like, with a trail of corn behind it.
Which, by the way, I just want to mention, there is a video someplace online of that exact thing where a Roomba goes through a room and it hits some on like a carpet.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it makes these beautiful, beautiful patterns in the rug. God. But yeah, I saw that actually.
It's artistic. It's Chipotle art. But none of the Roombas have functioned for the last like 400 days because they're still there, but because of her, she's down there sleeping right now. But yeah, because, and actually one of the spots that she goes to, we have like this kind of little like little sunroom off of a living room in the front. And there's really nothing in there. I don't know what to put in there. Yeah, it's been here for 3 years. It's still kind of an open space. But like the Roomba was in there, and she goes right by the fucking Roomba. It's because it's way off. It's a place normal we don't really traffic. So it's like the furthest away where she can kind of sneaky poop. And thank God the Roombas aren't running anymore because it, but I would like to run them again. You know, between my secret pile and hers,
and the dogs.
Yeah. You gotta kind of,
it's just not a good idea.
Gotta draw a line somewhere. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, check us out on Apple Podcasts or Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online to get access to all of our material. We'd love for you to do that. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts as well. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.